everyone, and welcome to the Total Athlete Podcast, brought to you by Athletes in Action. For more information on how you can learn about developing the total athlete in Canada, visit athletesinaction.ca, and in the United States, visit athletesinaction.org. I'm your host, Herbie Kuhn. And today, we are so pleased to welcome a dynamic guest to the podcast, and she is a standout not only in basketball, but in life as well. Tamara Tatum has played for the Canadian senior basketball team for 10 years, from 2007 through to 2016. During that time, she represented her country proudly at two Olympic Games in London and in Rio de Janeiro as well. Two Pan American Games, six FIBA Americas Championships, and two FIBA World Championships. A career highlight was winning the gold medal in the 2015 Pan Am Games in Toronto on home soil. Prior to that, she played 4 years at UMass, University of Massachusetts, and was the team captain during both her junior and senior years. She became only the 11th player in school history to amass over 1,000 career points. And coming from a school with that kind of hoops cred, that's a serious accomplishment. In addition, she has played professionally in five different countries. Currently, Tamara is the head coach of the University of Toronto Varsity Blues women's basketball team. More important than all of that, though, she loves the Lord Jesus Christ. Tamara, welcome to the Total Athlete Podcast.
Hey, Herbie. Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to be here today.
And we are super excited to have you here today. You are, just for the record, I know this whole first Canadian female thing is a recurring theme with you, and we'll talk about that a little bit later, but you are our first Canadian female guest for the Total Athlete Podcast. So I'm excited about that. Yes, indeed. I'd like to start off with a couple of questions that will really help us get to know you better, Tamara. Here we go. Where are you from, and what's your favorite food?
Ooh, love it. So I grew up in Scarborough, and we moved to Brampton in my high school years. So
all right.
I claim a little bit of both Brampton and Scarborough.
Yes.
We could basically say the GTA.
Yes.
So that's where I'm from. And my favorite food, ooh, it's so hard to choose, but I'm going to have to go with pizza.
I love yes, girl. Pizza. yes. Oh, that's fantastic. And in terms of pizza, do you have a favorite toppings, meat lovers, Hawaiian, you know, Canadian maple bacon? What's your favorite?
I love pineapples, chicken, and hot peppers on my pizza. That is my Woo! Combo, my go-to combo.
Let me make sure I repeat that and hear that clearly. Pineapples, hot peppers, and chicken on your pizza.
Yep.
I introduce you as a dynamic woman, and that is a dynamic combo right there. I love it. I love it.
A little sweet and spicy. I love it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Does that apply to your personality at all? A little bit sweet, a little bit spicy?
Definitely.
Absolutely. And for those of our guests who are listening elsewhere in Canada or in the United States, a little bit of geographical background. Scarborough is actually part of the city of Toronto and is located at the east end of the city of Toronto. And Brampton, Ontario, where Tamara spent her high school years, is slightly north and west of the Toronto city, the city of Toronto proper, but is what is known as affectionately the GTA, the Greater Toronto Area. So yeah, to give you a little bit of perspective in terms of where she grew up. And so I find that fascinating. Let's go back to those Southern Ontario roots, those GTA roots, your family structure, Tamara. How did that mold you and help to shape your character of who you are today?
Definitely. So I could really go right down to my parents. My parents were the root of who we are today as kids, as their kids. And they both came here from Jamaica to make a life better for them. But they actually met in Canada. They met in Toronto. And they had kids, they got married, and that's how I'm here today. So I would say my parents have done a very good job at molding who I am today as the woman that I am today. They taught us so many values, family values, life values, respect, togetherness, commitment, determination, all of those things I learned from my parents. And it actually showed quite a bit on the basketball court as well.
Respect, togetherness, commitment. Mm-hmm. Sounds like a winner's list of characteristics that your parents Definitely. Brought and made part of your GTA. And I think it's fair to say that that Jamaican influence shines through in terms of that upbringing.
100%.
That is spectacular. And talk to us, was church or faith a part of that upbringing? Was that part of what you experienced growing up?
Yeah, definitely. So we went to church every Sunday. Every right. Sunday we were at church. I didn't know. At the beginning, I was just like, this is a ritual. This is what we do. I was going to church knowing it was something that we did as a family, but I didn't necessarily know why, right? I knew why, but you know, I understood as I grew older and I got to know the Lord a little bit more, but I didn't actually know the Lord at that point. I knew at this point I had it ingrained in me and I knew there was something there for me, but I didn't necessarily pay as much attention as I could, I think, especially since I started playing basketball. Basketball took me on this path where it just excelled right away. And I ended up not going to church as much when I went away to university. But every time I had an opportunity to, I was like, I really want to go to church today. You know, so that thing that was ingrained in us as kids and growing up in Scarborough and in Brampton lived with me as in my later years in life.
So when did, since that faith element was obviously part of your structure, it was a weekly routine, it was something that was on display in the home, presumably. When did it go from becoming a family faith or a this is what I'm supposed to do faith to becoming your own personal faith? When it go from being Tamara the churchgoer to Tamara, the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you tell us a little bit about that testimony? And I understand that your sister may have had something to do with that journey.
She definitely did. Both my sister and my brother, who I'm very close with, had a huge part in that journey. I was playing overseas at the time, actually. And I was I think I was in either Germany or Slovakia at this point. And I came home one summer and my sister had already retired from playing basketball. My brother was coaching and they were going to some Bible studies and they invited me to Bible study one night. And I was like, oh, this is cool. But nah, it's not for me. Right. Like it's not for me. And then but I knew my sister and my brother had recently also gotten baptized. So I was you know what? I have to be different. I'm the only one playing basketball. Finally, I'm not going to be like Alicia and Patrick. Everyone expects me to be like my brother and my sister. I'm going to go this way.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I ended up coming home another summer and my sister was in a Bible study in the living room of my family home. And I came downstairs that morning and I was like, oh, another Bible study. And I went into the kitchen and I was kind of like making some food and I overheard a few things. And I'm like, oh, that's pretty interesting. And then I was kind of cooking a little bit more. And I was like, oh, that's really interesting. So I ended up sitting in on their Bible study and getting to know a little more. And from there, that's where my personal faith journey started. I started studying and getting to know the Lord more through that.
Wow. It sounds like a little faith by osmosis, if you will. You know, what was happening in the room next door while you were making your breakfast?
I know.
had eternal implications on your life.
Exactly.
Now, talk to me a little bit about the fact that you're already a young woman at this point. You're not a teenager anymore. You've already been playing professionally. You've already experienced a lot and seen a lot and drawn your own conclusions about the world. So what was it about that particular study or maybe some of the questions that really stood out to you, that really grabbed your attention? Or can you just attribute it to the Holy Spirit doing his work?
It's a little of both. Definitely the biggest thing that really drew me to that was I always thought if you sin, you're going backwards, or you cannot be baptized if you're going to be sinning. And I, in my head, I was like, I can't be perfect, and God needs me to be perfect. Right now, playing overseas, I know I'm not perfect. So in my head, I was like, I can't do it. There's no way I can do it. So listening in on that study, it was like, that's not what he says. That is not what he says. No sin is greater than any other sin. We are sinners. We sin every day. Like, these things I was starting to learn, it was like, it's interesting. Like, it is interesting. And so as I moved on in my Bible studies, I was getting closer and closer. And then I was like, oh, I got to head back overseas. I don't know if I'm ready, but maybe I could take a little break and go overseas and practice becoming a Christian. So that's what I did. I went and I practiced. I was like, I couldn't believe I practiced. I thought about practicing. And I was over there and I was like, what am I doing? Like, I'm ready.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
It's either all in or nothing at all, right?
Yeah.
That's fantastic. That is fantastic. And what a great realization that the Lord's love is unconditional, and in particular, that he's willing to meet us where we are. Exactly. He does not require perfection. He doesn't require a stainless steel living slate. He's ready to meet us where we are. And he certainly met you where you were at that age and stage of your life.
Absolutely.
Let's talk hoops for a little bit here, Tamara. Okay. You had the privilege, look at that smile jump up on her face. You had the privilege of playing pro ball in Finland, Germany, Slovakia, Australia, and in Russia. Mm-hmm. Your travels with Team Canada took you to numerous other countries as well. Not many people get to experience that many cultures so early in their life. So here's my question. What have those travels taught you about being a professional and about how you carry yourself?
Yeah, it's huge. Having the ability to adapt, the ability to experience these different cultures and adapt to different cultures and the way of life in all of these different countries that I've been in has been a huge asset to me. I mean, I eat things these days and some of my friends never heard of them, right? So it's really cool to be very versed in that area and really having the opportunity, right? So I think that has really helped me to this day in terms of how I carry myself. I've been in so many different rooms where I am, for instance, the only Christian or the only Black person in that room. And I know how to carry myself, and I know how people accept me in these rooms, right? So as something that seems very hard to do, I've been through it so many years in my life that I'm just ready, no matter where I go, to be okay in any situation that I'm in. So, I think that has definitely helped me grow and adapt to where I am right now in life.
Oftentimes, unfamiliar circumstances can throw a person for a loop, right? It can take you out of your comfort zone and make you second guess yourself often. It seems to me like some of these experiences, many of them have contributed to you being comfortable, no matter where the Lord puts you.
But it was work to be comfortable, right? You had to get out of your comfort zone in order to, at some point, feel comfortable doing that.
Yeah.
I've been to places where I was like, what am I doing here? I need to leave. You know what I mean? And I had to stick it out. I had to see what I can do and how I could push myself out of this comfort zone and push myself into an opportunity that probably wouldn't have been here, right? For everyone. And even in my last year being in Russia, it was tough. It was tough. I was in a city where no one really spoke English. It was tough. It was hard, very cold, dark nights. But I found people. I found people to connect with. There were people on the volleyball team that actually went to Rio with me. Not even knowing, on the U.S. national team. So I had connection, and God brought people to me, right? There's someone that reached out to me from our Christian family who's Russian, and we were meeting on a weekly basis. Like,
wow. It was
really, really cool to meet people and to just be in a space where I wasn't so worried about basketball. I was just really happy to be in a new culture and play the best basketball that I can, and through Jesus.
We all know that sport is an international language that knows no boundaries. Exactly. It's another thing entirely to borrow the James Bond movie from Russia with God's love. Wow, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. That is truly amazing. Listen, you played at such a high level, Tamara, for so long, and much of your talent and ability is God-given. We know that. But developing and maintaining that type of talent and that type of consistency is another matter entirely. So for the young aspiring pro athlete or the aspiring Olympian, young girl perhaps, listening to this podcast today, what was your approach to caring for your body year after year after year so that you could perform at such a high level?
You got to be able to recover. You have to be. And recovery is not always going to be like a week off. That's tough to do as an athlete. but also making sure you're eating the right things, right? You got to eat the right things, making sure you're getting enough sleep, and taking those recovery days. I know some people want to be able to do something every single day. Sometimes just not playing basketball for a day is doing something. On the road to recovery. You are making sure you're eating the proper food that you need to that day. There's always something you can do, even if it's not just playing. So recovery is a really huge piece to maintaining the strength that I was able to build and perform at such a high level for 10 years.
Recovery and nutrition.
And nutrition. You know,
It's interesting because there's a bit of a lie in there somewhere that says you got to keep going. Yep. Work harder. And obviously, okay, I'm sure we'll both agree, we're singing in the same choir, that there's no replacement for working hard. But there's also wisdom in the rest times and in the down times. And I think that speaks to both physical health and emotional, spiritual health as well.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Folks, you are listening to the Total Athlete Podcast, brought to you by Athletes in Action. And our guest today is University of Toronto basketball coach Tamara Tatum. Let's shift gears to a topic that's an unwelcome reality for virtually every athlete at one time or another. Let's talk about injuries here. We talked about maintaining your body, nutrition, and rest. Virtually every athlete goes through this at one time or another. And being a total athlete involves not only physical fitness, but emotional, social, mental, and spiritual fitness as well. You suffered a setback prior to the Rio Games in 2016. Tell us about that and how your faith and how being a total athlete made a difference for you.
Yeah, so I was playing in Australia at the time, and I ended up fracturing a bone in my shin.
Ouch.
It got chipped. Yeah. So it was more of a hairline. So it was chipped. But it was super painful to play on. Every time I jumped, I don't necessarily want to talk about it. it didn't feel great.
Right.
So we ended up doing a bunch of I think a CAT scan while I was in Australia, and that's how we ended up finding out what was going on. And they were like, all right, she needs at least 6 to 8 weeks of nothing. But what we can do for her is, you know, play her in one game, don't practice all week, play her in the game. But it's setting me back either way. It's not really resting, you know?
Yeah.
So at that point, I made the executive decision. My decision to head home in the new year, which was in about end of January.
Right.
And saw my doctors, and saw my physio, and I had to be completely off for 6 weeks. I could not do anything.
You shut her down.
Exactly. It had I kept it going, had I played until the end of season, I would have had to take my other 6 weeks off. When I got back, set me back even more. Like 6 weeks off as a basketball player, a pro basketball player, is unreal. It is tough. So, yeah, I mean, that was a huge setback to me. But luckily for us, for me, I have my faith I can lean on. No, I leaned on that heavy during this time, to keep me grounded, to keep me ready, to keep me well, prepared for when I get back. And then for every athlete, there's sports psychologists. That is huge in the world of sports right now. And really using that is a huge advantage to athletes. And we've had it for a number of years on the national team, and it's something that works wonders for our athletes. So I definitely would encourage most coaches and athletes to look into that as well.
All right. I love to hear that element of it because being involved at sports, especially at an elite level, is such a broad dynamic, and there's so many contributing factors to it. So it's great to hear about sports psychology, but also your faith helping to keep you grounded, because I'm sure there were times during that stretch where you could have panicked, right? Someone might have panicked, but your faith helps keep you grounded in that regard.
Yep. I tend to get to different scriptures where I like to meditate on. And during that time, I was meditating on Hebrews 11:1. And that's for faith that I don't, it's faith for the unseen, essentially, right? Like having confidence in knowing that it's going to work out, even though I don't see it working out. I don't see what's happening next, but having that confidence, knowing that it will work out, is what I had to lean on during this time. So.
Faith is being sure of what we hope for, yet certain of what we do not see. Hebrews 11:1. Yep, that's a big one right there, isn't it? A big
Huge.
one indeed. In 2018, Tamara, you made history as the first ever Canadian woman to coach men's pro basketball when you were signed as part of the coaching staff of the Raptors 905, the G League affiliate of the Toronto Raptors, the 2019 NBA champion Toronto Raptors, if I may. In regards to that experience, in regards to that experience of being hired with the 905 as the first ever Canadian woman to coach men's pro ball, I have something to share with you. Here it is.
Okay, awesome.
Tamara, a pro, simply put. She came into our 905 environment and just exuded a professional approach as a former player and as a coach. She fit in with our group right away as her humble approach endeared her to her fellow coaches and players. She had a hunger to learn. Those attributes, either conscious or unconscious, come from our faith. End quote. From your head coach at that time, Jemma Machlalela. Your thoughts, please. Your thoughts.
I love it. Oh my gosh, that is amazing. So great to hear that. Jemma is an amazing human being. He is a great coach, a great mentor, and he's done such great things for that team, and he's still with the Raptors. He's been with them for a while. We both also have the U of T background, so that's pretty cool as well. But again, we both love the Lord, and that faith and that connection that we have is huge, in having him around me during that time. So that is so amazing to hear. I'm very much so appreciative of his kind words.
I'm pleased to be the middleman, the middleman
I know, I love it.
between him and he and you for these those comments. But I'd like you to speak to that, a couple of the core approaches that you exuded a professional approach and a confidence moving into that. A humble approach, he says, which endeared you. Talk to us about Christ and how being with Christ enables you to walk into, and here we come back to a familiar refrain, right? An unusual environment, but your previous experiences have helped to prepare you for this. So share with us a little bit of that faith element and how that plays a role. And what, you're the only woman walking into a gym full of high functioning, testosterone filled, A-type males.
100%.
And you're comfortable in there. Talk to me.
Yeah, I'm comfortable, right? It's obviously a scary feeling to think about right away, right? You get the job, it's an amazing opportunity, but then you're like, oh, I'm about to be with all men on the court, right? So I know for me, I've definitely prayed for situations that I go into. Even in deciding to retire and accepting the position at U of T as a lead assistant at the time, I prayed on it, and I always go off of what the Holy Spirit is telling me and what I feel that the path is that God has laid out for me. So my faith has definitely brought me in there with confidence. I know once I got baptized as a basketball player, it was throughout my last couple years of playing, I just played so much more free. I was able to play free. I was able to do things and not be hung up on it. If I didn't play well that day, wasn't God's will today. You know, like I was never hung up on anything anymore. And that confidence that I had started to exude in everything that I was doing, not just on the basketball court. So it's taken me into the professional world now. And I think that's what Gemma seen when I came through.
However, that said, the transition from being a player to a coach wasn't straightforward from an emotional standpoint, was it? So being at a point, you know, where you're starting a whole new career all over again, it's one thing. I've got the Holy Spirit's direction. Tamara, I've prepared you for this. You will do well. But then there's the human element as well. Talk to us a little bit about that transition and about, it's not like you were starting from scratch, because you have a huge basketball IQ that's already in place. That said, doing the X's and O's and running the drills is different from your role as a player. So tell us how that was an emotionally challenging transition for you.
It's a huge transition. I mean, I never had to draw on a board.
Right.
You know, you see it every single day as an athlete, but you don't have to do it. And then teaching the athletes, some of the things that you're wanting to teach them, it's hard right out the gates. I don't necessarily know the language on how to teach it, but I know what I want them to do. So in my head, I'm just like, you should be able to do X, Y, Z, but I need to explain how to get to X, Y, Z, and what happens after you get to, how to get to X, what happens after Y, and where we will be if we get to Z. Like, there's so many layers to coaching that you don't notice or you don't know about right off the gate. So getting thrown into situations was a huge help for me right off the gates at U of T. Michelle put me in charge of quite a few things, and that helped me grow. That helped me build my confidence in being a coach at a higher level. And then moving into the pro realm, I'm like, oh, it's a whole nother ball game.
Yes, it is.
But Gemma, again, throwing me into situations, right? All right, we're doing a scrimmage game. You're coaching this scrimmage game with this coach. So it's been really, really cool getting the opportunities and just seeing my confidence grow as I've been in the situations.
Fantastic. And to clarify for our listeners, the aforementioned coach, Gemma Makhlalela, is currently part of the coaching staff and assistant coach with the Toronto Raptors Basketball Club. In an interview, Tamara, a video interview feature with the Globe and Mail, you said the following, and I quote, "Women often feel like they won't get picked. You'll never know unless you go after it," end quote. Talk to me, please, about your approach to the sacred responsibility of mentoring and inspiring not only women, but Black women as well.
Yeah, my approach is simple. I gotta make sure that I'm providing opportunities, mentoring, helping, doing whatever I can, and using my voice. That's the biggest thing that I can do. on my platforms, through my interviews, as a head coach for my young Black female athletes that I'm coaching, right? It's huge. And not only just about, like I said, providing these opportunities, it's letting them know they can do whatever it is you want to do. But one thing you got to do, you have to go after it. And you'll never know. Yeah, you might fail here and there. That's what life is about. You're going to fail in some things that you do. But there's always going to be things that can come out on the other side, whether it's a learning opportunity or a growth opportunity. So, yeah, it's huge. It's huge. And I'm going to use my voice as much as I can to help young Black females.
You know, it's interesting because some athletes or high profile coaches believe that their role is simply to fulfill their role and not necessarily use the platform that they have. It sounds to me like you don't fall under that category. You have a platform, you know it, you know the Lord provided it for you, and you had best avail yourself of that platform. One of the things you said, piggybacking on that, is another quote from you is, "My approach is to motivate and help in any way that I can, and I pray and hope that I can do that." May I say that that's a servant heart right there, and I dare say it's reflected in not only your approach as a coach, but in every place that God uses you, Miss Tamara Tatum. For this next one, it might be something that you already knew that's been reinforced, or perhaps a new revelation altogether. In the last year, what is the most profound truth about the Lord that you have learned?
He is the Lord, you know, he's here, he's with us. Jesus is Lord. He is here to get us through anything we need. But for me, I definitely found a way to connect with him closer. This time has given me so much opportunity to get to know the Lord on a whole nother platform. So a lot of people hate COVID, but COVID is good for so many things, for you to grow yourself. And for me, it was to grow my relationship with the Lord. So he is here, he's with us, and he's always going to be with us, no matter where we are and where we go.
The most profound truth that this young woman of God has absorbed over this past calendar year, sisters and brothers, ladies and gentlemen, listening to this podcast today, in our pandemic ravaged world and all of the uncertainties that it has wrought, is this: Jesus is Lord. Can you say that for me one more time, please?
Jesus is Lord.
Amen. Absolutely. That is so good. And what a steadying influence that is. The anchor. He's the anchor of our souls. And that's meant to steady the ship, not allow it to keep on rocking. That is so awesome. That is so awesome. Thank you for encouraging me. And I'm sure everybody who's listening to this right now. In closing, what are you involved in right now? Obviously, the coaching and the hoop stuff, but over and above that, that you'd like others to know about, whether it's a grassroots initiative, a business initiative you're part of, social media, how can people tag you, follow you, so on and so forth. Talk to us about that. What's this girl up to?
There's a few things. I felt like I've been up to a lot throughout this time. But it is also because there's so much online and you always want to be able to grow professionally. So I do a bunch of PD sessions, whether it's for coaching or just life. But I've been involved with Layup Youth Basketball as a board member. And it's a CrossFit program really centered around the culture of basketball. And providing skills and drills for kids that cannot afford it, right? Okay. So it's a really cool program, and you're getting an opportunity to grow on and off the court. And for me, that is huge, because as a coach, I want to be able to develop my athletes as people first, students, and then athletes. Those are the things that I really think about when I'm coaching my university athletes.
So, and tell us the name of that program again, please. Make sure everybody gets it and can look it up.
It's Layup Youth Basketball.
Layup Youth Basketball.
Mm-hmm. It's centered in the GTA. You can definitely find it online at layup.ca.
All right.
That's something that I've really been involved in. I'm with the national team's junior women's program. Mm-hmm. So that's been cool. We've been very involved with helping our athletes throughout this time. So we've been putting sessions on every single month since last April. Right. So yeah, we are making sure that we are helping our athletes in a whole nother way. Now, maybe we're doing more about teaching them the language as opposed to just teaching them the skills of basketball. Teaching them about the culture of each other, you know, like really getting down to the heritage of not just basketball, but each other's heritage, right? And getting to know who we are with. So that's something else I've been involved in quite heavily throughout this time as well.
And if anybody would like to follow you on social media, Instagram, Twitter, or the like, what's the best way to do that? Well, she's thinking
about it. Instagram's the best way. Definitely the best way. I'm on my Instagram way more than I'm on my Twitter.
All right.
But
all
I know, as a coach, I feel like I need to be on Twitter more, though.
And so they would just search your name, Tamara, T-A-T-H-A-M?
You could search my name, or my Instagram handle is T-Tatum. Yeah.
Gotcha. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Well, Tamara, this time has been such a gift. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you for having me.
Folks, you've been listening to the Total Athlete Podcast, presented by Athletes in Action. For more information on how you can learn about developing the total athlete in Canada, visit athletesinaction.ca, and in the United States, visit athletesinaction.org.